Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
So what a great victory we experienced on Friday. Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. The battle still continues. He is faithful. I'm going to share a personal testimony of my own. God loves every one of us, saints and sinners alike, and that's about the cross. That is all about the cross. But when I discovered that I was pregnant with Sandra, shock of all shocks, Dave and I had not quite got married yet, shockingly. And God is so good. Is he not good? Is he not faithful? You know, you know what? It is what it is, right? Right? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and thank God for the cross. But I had made a decision in my heart that I was going to get an abortion because of this, you know, situation. I was a church girl. My father was a pastor, and, you know, that's just not something that is kind of done in a home like that. And I just had made that decision in my heart. And, in fact, I walked into my doctor's office, and that was the intent of my heart, that we can handle this another way. We didn't really understand as much as we do now about abortion at that time. So I was actually in the doctor's office discussing abortion, had the pamphlets in my hand when I was talked to by the Holy Spirit. And think of the implication of that. That's your church administrator. That's who that is. There would be someone missing. And beyond that, I would have pretty much killed my best friend. Really, we need the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that God was with us even while. Now, there is no condemnation either, because I'm going to also share something else personal. Prior to that, I had already had an abortion many, many years before. So, you know what? God forgives, and then he helps you, and he restores you. And the cross wipes it all away as if it never happened. And the only purpose of ever bringing anything up like that is so that we can help other people and so we can show the power of the cross. This morning, I wanted to share with you that we have had several cases of COVID, so we want to be mindful of that. Carmen's family is, some of them, I believe, may have been exposed or have COVID. I think they have COVID. And Pastor Ken, the same. Leslie had COVID, and Tyler has COVID. So they are, once again, this week in quarantine. And we pray for them. Everybody's doing great and wonderful and fine again. So, so many things are happening. But I want to read to you a couple scriptures this morning. I did not know that I would be flying solo again, so just bear with me. But I want to read the scripture, something that David said. He said this, "Many are they increased who trouble me." Many are they, not one person, but many are they that rise up against me. Many say about me, they talk about me. They talk about me, they do. They say, there's no help for him in God. There's no help. God offers no help for him. But you, Lord, you are a shield for me. You are the glory and the lifter. You lift my head up. And then it continues to say, I cried to you. What else would you do if many were against you? You cry. Cry to the Lord. Don't just cry when people come against you. Cry to God. I cried to you, O Lord, and you listened and heard me. And you heard me out of your holy hill. And then it says one more thing. How many of you know that when you're troubled and when people come against you and when the enemy comes out hard against you, that it's hard to sleep? That you can go over and over and over. I had someone tell me the other day, I couldn't sleep. It just bothered me. And I read the scripture and I said, many are they increased that trouble you. And many are rising up against you. And many say, you ain't going to get out of this. But God said, I am the glory and the lifter of your head. I cried to you, Lord, and you heard me out of your holy hill. And then it says, and I lay down and I just went to sleep. I was able to sleep. You know, so many people, I said a couple weeks ago, the number one medicine, there, I think there's one before it, but there's one, it's the number one is Ambien for sleep. People have trouble sleeping. Why is that? Because so many things are going on in their life and in their world, and they have just a feeling of uneasiness, a feeling of trouble. If you were honest, how many of you would say this week that I've been disappointed this week? I've been discouraged this week. I felt down this week. I felt hopeless this week. I have a situation. I have a circumstance that's troubling me, that's come against me. I got people that have rejected me. I've got people that are mistreating me. People that are saying things about me, that there ain't no help, you ain't getting out of this. But that's not true. Things can seem hopeless in life, but with God. So I want to read another scripture, because maybe you don't understand why many are troubling you. Many are rising up against you. In 2 Timothy 3, it says this, mark this. You know what that means? Write it down. Make a note of this. Make note of this. Put this in your notebook. In the last days, there will be troublesome times, troublesome times. People will be lovers of self. They will be lovers of money. How many of you see this? Selfish people who love only money. They love money. They're boastful. They're prideful. They're abusive, disrespectful to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. They're slanderers. They slander your character. They don't have any self-control whatsoever. But they love pleasure more than God. And finally, it says they're imposters. There's people that are not who you think they are. They claim to be godly, but they deny the power of God, that he can, that he is who he says he is. And many will fall away in these last days. And you know what my heart's prayer is? Let it not be me, God. Let me not fall away from the truth. Keep me, God. Don't let me be one of those who's an imposter, one of those who when things get hard and people come against you, you quit. So I titled this message, Never Give Up. It really does come down to that, because so many situations seem hopeless. But I want to tell you that there is no situation that's hopeless. Your situation is, in fact, not hopeless, because God has provided an answer for every question and a solution for every problem. And you might be asking, so what is it? Give me the answer. Give me the solution. He provided himself, Jesus, as the answer, as the solution for the problem. So when you say, I have a situation, you say, I also have the answer. If you have Jesus, you have the answer. If you're trying to figure out something in your life, what is the solution for this? It's Jesus. It's Jesus in our life. He's it. And when you find him, you have all that you will ever need. And I want to say that because the Bible says in this world we'll have trouble, that can be a little bit on the discouraging side. But be of good cheer. How does trouble and good cheer go together? The good cheer part is because we have Jesus. We will have trouble. There's no doubt. But let me tell you something. It didn't say how much trouble. But there are many who will come against you. But let me tell you this. You're actually going to have less trouble if you have Jesus. You're going to have less. You know the drama you have now? You know the traumas you've went through? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were talking about dieting. And she said these words, and we've laughed about it for years. She said, Pam, we're just one trauma away from losing that 20 pounds we need to leave. Just one good trauma, because you don't want to eat, you don't want to get up, you can't sleep. And so it's been our standing joke, just one trauma away from 20 pounds. But we'll have less trauma and less drama if we have more of Jesus. Have you ever known, let me ask you a question. Have you ever known two people going through the exact same thing at the exact same time? Say two people lost a loved one, but they handled it totally different. One just completely fell apart. This is the end of my world. I will never marry again. I'll never give up. I'll never live again. I'll never do anything. I won't go out of my house. I actually know someone who lost their husband who does not go out of their house hardly ever. at all. An elderly woman, not my mom either, you know that. But she doesn't go out of her house at all. She quit living. Another person goes through it and says, I'm going to keep on serving God. I'm going to keep on doing what I do. I'm going to make that person proud. I'm going to do acts of rant. I performed a funeral in a big home yesterday in Tinley Park. And one of the things that I always say is, there is something you can do to keep the memory of your loved one alive. Perform random acts of kindness in their honor. Say, this is from Uncle Joe. This is what my uncle used to do. This is from Uncle Joe. I do it for my father a lot. I gave away 2 gas cards this week at the gas station and that's something that we can all do. But here's what I want to say. Would you consider doing random acts of kindness for Jesus? Would you consider doing that for Jesus in spite of your trauma, in spite of your drama? But there's times when 2 people go through the same situation, maybe it's a divorce, and they go through it totally different because one has Jesus and one doesn't. In fact, we face death even differently than the world. But the Bible says, oh, death, where is thy sting? And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear death. I fear no evil thing. I'm not going to waste my time fearing and worrying. You know, someone had asked me even just yesterday, said, I don't understand why you are not worried about this, Pam. I do not understand why this does not trouble you. I am so, so troubled. And I said, let me help you out. I said, you're up against a demon. No weapon formed against me, no demon in hell, and any tongue that rises up against me shall be brought to shame. I will not worry about that. I will not concern myself about that. What you just received, ma'am, was a message from hell. And you need to reject it and receive the word of God. Now, there was a time, I will tell you this, when had I received that very same message that this woman was talking about yesterday, I would have felt the exact same way. I'd have been troubled. I would not be able. But this verse, many are they increase that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. But I'm going to lay my head down and I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to sleep it off. So you watch me, Satan. You watch me. I'm not giving you my time or my dime. I'm going to go to sleep and rest in the arms of Jesus. And that's how, it's just that we handle things differently. We really, really do. And when there's more of God in your life, there's going to be less of pain. When there's more of the world, because more of God means more peace, more joy, more blessing, less fear, less anxiety. He takes away the bad, the pain, the anxiousness, the trouble, and he adds hope and help and courage to face that problem. And you need to remember that Satan's the one who brings the pain. You know, something that interested me is that the Bible says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You can tell a person out of the abundance of the heart, their mouth's going to speak, right? It's what they talk about. And so I asked myself the question, then what flows out of your belly if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit? That's poison. That's rivers of poison. That's putrid that's just coming out of them. People that are just vomiting up. I remember Beth Moore, her exact statement was, you know, people that you can sit in a car with them and in 5 minutes, they are vomiting on you. They are just pouring out negativity. They are just pouring out all bad things. That's rivers of unholy, not living water, but water that destroys, the water of the world. So we should not be concerned with our cares. We can either carry our cares, which can become like rocks, or we can cast our cares. It's one or the other. It's not both. You can't say, I have cast my cares on Jesus and still carry them around. It doesn't work that way. And where do I cast my cares? You cast means to fling, but where I bring mine is right here to the altar. And you can leave that burden there. Frida's song that the choir is singing, take them to Jesus, take your problems, take them to Jesus, take them to Jesus. How many times do we have to hear that before we take them to Jesus, before we come to the altar and lay them down? Many people feel that they have to carry their own situation. I can't do that. It got too heavy for me. I don't know about you, but there are situations where you tried hard to work it out and you just couldn't work it out. Only Jesus can fix certain things. And I think it's a part of believing. Dr. Hagen said, I've never heard of an unbelieving believer. But you know, I do think there are such a, there's kind of such a thing, it's an oxymoron, but that people that call themselves believers, but they really don't believe. And here's how you know. I could call myself a believer. I believe, hallelujah, glory to God, revival is me, hallelujah. And then the doctor gives me bad news and I go, I'm going to die. Somebody get a pen. Dear Dave, dear Sandra, do this, keep my jewelry. I'm dying. That's how you know if you really are a believer. When something happens, when something goes wrong, I can say I'm a believer standing here. I'm comfortable. The air's on. I have nothing going on in my body that I'm aware of. In fact, I had a touch from God. You heard my testimony last week that God has healed my back, my hip, and I have great testimony. But just hear bad news and you find out who's who. As Pastor Ken says often, the pilots, when the black boxes are retrieved, I mean, you can say all day long, you know, I am on fire for God, until you get in a fire and then there's a problem. It's like, wait a minute. I am now the Hebrew children. And all of a sudden, you are shaking and you are quaking because your faith is not secure. You said you believe, but just because I say it, I can say I'm a ballerina. You don't want to see me dance. I'm not. You can say anything you want. People lie all the time. I'm this, I'm that. You don't believe it? Go on the internet. You know, how many, I know many of you women have had the Indonesian prince propose. He's not a prince. He's not. He's a scammer. That's just the way it is. So people say things all the time. It doesn't mean they're the truth. But God, he is not a man that he should lie. He always tells the truth. And if he says he's going to be there with you in that situation, he is. How do I know this? How can I with confidence say that? I am about to be, and Willie had a birthday, I'm about to be 66 years old. I know what I'm talking about. He has always been there. He has brought me through. Do not laugh, Tony. Do not laugh. That is not funny. We have been on this road for that long. But God has always been with us on that road. He has seen us through so many things. He's even provided wisdom. Not long ago, Tony and I had to talk about a situation. And the wisdom that God did, how he worked the situation, no one got hurt at all. Because when God's involved, but here's the thing, we have to invite the Holy Spirit. We have to invite God, come and be involved with my life. Please help me with this, God. And that's part of surrender. That's part of confessing our sins. Saying, God, I'm going to get it wrong. You know I got it wrong last time. I'm about to get it wrong this time, God. I know I will. I know if you leave me alone in this situation when Frieda and I are having this trouble, I'm going to say something that isn't going to be nice. But Holy Spirit, if you'll help me, if you'll give me some words, some kind words, some loving words, if you'll remind me that I'm supposed to show mercy and that I'm supposed to have words that are pleasant and graceful, and I'm supposed to represent you, God, and that my hands are to be used for healing, then I'll get it right. But I know that I need him, but we have to include God in our life because we've left him out far too many times, and our country's left him out, and that's what has happened in our life. And so many times, you know, it's the desperate people that get help from God. Do you know that? Desperate is a good place to be. If you're not desperate, I'm desperate when I'm not desperate. Does that make sense? Does anybody get that? I am desperate when I'm not desperate. I don't have anything desperate going on in my life right this minute. I have a few situations, not desperate. I'm desperate for God. I recognize that desperation has to stay with me. I have to be desperate. Otherwise, I'm gonna fall away. Like the people in the last days. We can cry out to God when we don't need to cry out to God. And by the way, that's a key. To pray when I'm not really begging God for my last dying breath over here, God, but I'm still desperate for you. I'm still crying out for you, God. I'm still acknowledging you, God, in everything I do, every day of my life. You know, I love the story, and we talked about it recently. I want to revisit it for 2 minutes or so. Blind Bartimaeus that heard Jesus was coming. And I think one of the things that has always touched me is that blind Bartimaeus was blind, but nothing was wrong with his hearing. And if you can't see Jesus, maybe you can hear about Jesus. And if you can't hear Jesus, maybe you can see him in the Word. But he heard Jesus was coming, and he had heard the rumor that Jesus was a Messiah. And when Jesus came into town, he cried out to him in desperation. And I imagine myself in this situation of blind Bartimaeus, because my mother is totally blind in one eye, and her other eye is not doing well right now. And so I think about blind Bartimaeus a lot, because I think about healing, that Jesus still heals eyes. I believe that, just like hips and everything else. I believe that if Jesus created your liver, he could heal your liver. It's as simple as that. Do you believe that? That the man who created the liver can heal the liver? Do you believe that the man who created your eyes could heal your eyes? I believe that 150%. And so I think about blind Bartimaeus, but I think about the years he spent in darkness. And I think about the years then that we spent in darkness before Jesus opened our eyes. It's as plain and simple as that. He's not the only one that was sitting by the side of the road and was hopeless. And I can imagine the darkness in his life, and I don't mean just physical either. I mean emotional darkness. I mean he probably felt forgotten. I know that he was poor. I know that he was a beggar. I know that he could have easily given up, but he decided not to give up. He decided to cry out to Jesus. He decided that Jesus was the answer for him, that there was no answer but Jesus, in fact. I did not hear him crying out to Joe or Cindy or Susan or the doctor. I didn't hear, not one time in the Bible does it say that blind Bartimaeus called to go get my doctor, go get my mother, go get my father, not even go get my pastor. But when Jesus came, cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Before you check on those other people and see what they can do, give Jesus. Give it to Jesus first, because he's the one who can. And by the way, he's also the one who will. He's also the one who will. Is he willing? Yes, he is. And Jesus is very, very close. One of the things I thought about with the story of blind Bartimaeus, because I just love to think about these things, how it would be. I try to put myself in the position, and here he is sitting by the side of the road, and here he is blind, and he heard about Jesus, and now Jesus is coming, and now he's crying out to Jesus. But I thought about the time leading up to that, how he was hearing Jesus, and then he heard the footsteps of Jesus. Here he comes. Here he comes. He's so close. He's stepping towards me. He's getting close to you. He's getting close to me. He's still the healer. And there is an old, old song. Probably no one knows this. Maybe Frida, maybe Tony, possibly, maybe Dave. It's an old song that says, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Your needs he will surely supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. I know that when we come in this place, the Holy Spirit is here. I know that he's moving among us. I know he's walking between these chairs and these pews. I feel his presence when I walk through the door, even as I get closer to the building. I feel Jesus. I feel his presence here even now as I'm speaking, as we're listening to him, not me. He is here. He is the one who will meet our needs. Blind Bartimaeus probably felt forgotten by the world, but he was not forgotten by Jesus. And just like the man also at the Pool of Bethesda who did not know Jesus and could not have gotten to Jesus, Jesus came to him. If you can't get to Jesus, he will get to you. And Jesus always makes himself available. I want to make myself available to Jesus. And he loves it when we cry out in faith like the woman at the hem of the garment. He wants us to cry out. He wants us to bring him our troubles. And he doesn't want us to fall apart. He wants to put all our parts back together. And, you know, I always have that little story. Every time I think of faith, I think of Humpty Dumpty, the little kid's rhyme that says, sat on the wall, and he had a great fall, like all of us fall. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us have bumps and bruises along life's journey. We fall. We fall 7 times, he gets us up. But it says, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put him together again. No one can do this. No king of the world, no doctor, no lawyer can fix what's broken. But there is the King of all kings, and he can put you together again. No matter what the fall, no matter how many pieces you're in, he can put you together again. And I am so thankful when we have stories in the Bible like the woman with the issue of blood who crawled to Jesus. I don't really care how you get there, but get there. I don't. Some people run. Some people crawl. Some people, Jesus just comes right up to them. But I know that he's here because the Bible says that he is near the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted, if you have a situation. And I know that the enemy is relentless, but I want to encourage you, even in the final quarter of our life, even in these last days, I want you to encourage you to not quit, to make it to the finish line, to keep going, and to even speed it up. Up your game a little bit. You know, it will take some of the pressure of the enemy off of you. I can tell you that if you will take a stand and show him who you are, he needs to hear from you. Do you know what? There was a time when I wouldn't have said that, but I'm telling you here and now, all of hell needs to know who you are. You need to tell them who you are. They may not know who you are if you're not really bold with your faith. If you're not really putting it out there, the devil may be attacking you and he may be harassing you because he don't quite know who you are. But I tell him pretty much on a daily basis, this is who I am. This is who I am. You best not forget this. And do you think that I fear him? I do not fear him. Somebody told me yesterday, so-and-so said this. It's like, do you think that concerns me in any way whatsoever? You know what? In fact, if you've got people against you, count it all joy. Paul had a messenger of Satan who was sent to come against him. Guess what? That means you're doing the right thing. And tell hell who you are. Tell the devil who you are. Let all the angels in heaven know. Let all the earth, the people on earth, begin to tell people on earth. I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Would you like to know Jesus Christ? Do you know it's not as hard as you think? And the devil wants to tell you, by the way, you should be ashamed of your faith. You should be ashamed to take a stand on issues. No, you shouldn't. If the Bible says it, that's enough for me. And you can do that in kindness. You don't have to march in the streets and act all ugly and all natty. You know, you need to do it in Christ-like love. Say, you know, this is why I'm telling you this, because I don't want to see you hurt. I don't want to see you broken, and I certainly don't want to see you go to hell. I owe you this. As a Christian, we owe this world a testimony. Would you agree with that? That we owe the world our testimony. And the way, let me share this, because you've all got situations, and I share this with so many people. Especially people who are kind of, I don't want to share my testimony. I just don't want to tell people, like I shared with you this morning, a testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If you will testify, you will overcome that situation that you're in today. If you will testify, I mean declare out of your mouth, that's a testimony that I am who God's word says I am. I can do what God's word says I can do, Joel Osteen. Yes, I can. This word is my word. And, you know, I don't care that Jesus is the Savior. I care that he's my Savior. I care that he's your Savior. I don't care if he's a healer. I care that he's my healer. He said, I am the Lord that heals you. He's your healer. Don't ever doubt that when the doctor gives you a word. Say, I have a word too. I have a word too. Over here. And it's the word of the Lord. And I hold tight to the word of the Lord, especially in this final quarter. Now, I want to say something else. I believe that God wants you to live an abundant life. Do you know that there's people that will not teach that and will not preach that at all? They believe that God wants you poor, broke, that sickness can do some great work in your life, and I say it is not true. I say that God can use anything, but I say that it's the healing that's the testimony. It's the healing of your body that is a blessing and a testimony. And God does want you to live an abundant life. God has given you a dream. Joseph's dreams were realized. I know that you have dreams in your heart. I want to tell you that God is not finished with you yet, not by a long shot. And I know that some of us are, we could probably get the senior coffee already, but it don't matter. God specializes in saving the best for last. Do you get that on any level? That God likes to use the weakest of the weak. He really does. He's like, I'm going to choose that little weak child. I'm going to choose that little elderly lady. I'm going to choose those who think they can't make it. Because here's another way that I believe that you can become an overcomer, especially to pursue God. First of all, to pursue God. But if you're hurting and you're going through a circumstance or a situation and you have pain in your life, here's what I want you to do. You find somebody else who's in more pain than you're in, and you tell that person, Jesus will heal your pain. In spite of your pain, you talk to them about their pain. You help someone when you're hurting. If you're in a financial situation where you are struggling, can I tell you what to do? You find someone who's in a financial situation who's struggling, and you help them. If you're in that situation, no matter what it is, I have seen some of the greatest ministries happen, and they were the most blessed when someone was in pain and they still continued to honor Christ and to minister to other people in pain. Smith Wigglesworth had a healing ministry, and most people don't know that he was ill. Do you know that he suffered with horrible kidney stones and kidney trouble? I mean, horrible. They said that his back would be so bad, the pain would be so excruciating, that he would be pouring sweat from the pain, and he would have to take painkillers and things, but he would stand and he would lay hands on the sick, and the sick would be healed. I'm not going to give you an explanation for that. I can't and I won't. That was all God. That was all God. He was able to minister. He did the greatest work. God used him because he believed in spite of the situation, and that's great faith. That's great faith. It's easy for me to tell Frida how it's done in her situation if I don't have a situation like hers. I've never been there. How can I really effectively tell her, I care, Frida, I understand, Frida? I haven't been there. I don't understand nothing at all about her situation. I'll do the best I can. But you get somebody who's broken, who's hurting, who's went through divorce. They went through financial crisis. They've went through cancer. That person, God can use that person if you will be a willing vessel. So if that's you today, if you've been broken in a situation, if you've had relationships that are broken, then you're the one to minister to somebody else. And I've shared this, you've heard me say this multiple times, why not one more? If you have, and I use this a lot with cancer and other things, if you have had cancer or even going through cancer, do you know that should never stop you from ministering to somebody else who has cancer? And especially if you've been healed of cancer, you know what that tells me? That you received the anointing of healing and were healed. That is in you. Who better to minister to somebody and say, I understand exactly what you're going through, and there's a healing that God has put in my body, and I would like to lay hands on you and impart that same healing to you by the laying on of hands and by the word of my mouth. Do you know that we can do that for one another? We need to be there for one another in these last days. We need to be crying out to God, and we need to be being so aware of the needs around us, of people. And I want to tell you that in this journey, and we are on a journey, it is radical people that get radical results. You know, the Bible says we are a peculiar people that show forth the praises of our God. Most of us, if we're honest, we don't want to be peculiar. I kind of want to fit in with the rest. I want to have a hairstyle like the rest. I want to have clothes like the rest. I don't want to be kind of crazy with my faith. You know, I mean, I got friends too. I went to school with them. They think I'm pretty cool. I don't want to be like the strange person. I'm the strange person. I'm the one. It's done. It's too late. We need to say, I want to be radical for you, Jesus. I mean, people are radical for other things, are they not? They have passion. They're passionate about other things. Why not passionate about Jesus? What's wrong with that? You know, the devil will tell you, you're just a crazy religious freak. That's how they look at you, as a crazy religious freak. You know what? Someone in a car dealer, as I was walking out the car dealer the other day, someone in the car dealer told me, would you promise to pray for me? There you go. That's because you're radical. That's because you're radical. You can bless people radically. You can speak to them, tell them about Jesus. And I mean, tell them the whole story. Go ahead and tell them about the Holy Ghost. Go for broke. Don't just tell them Jesus wants to save you. He don't want you to go to hell. Just be good. Be good. I ain't going to be good. I never was good. I'm going to be godly. I'm going to be godly. I'm going to go for broke. I want to live holy. I want to live set apart for God. I'm going to be that crazy person. And, you know, old people are crazy anyway. So I can do that. You know, let's go ahead and be crazy. Willie's old. We can all be crazy. We worship God. That's, you know, crazy for Jesus. Jesus freaks. Have you ever read Jesus freaks? Those who would give their life for Jesus. Jesus freaks. That's the kind of people we need to be. So we need to pursue God. Tommy Tenney wrote a book that I absolutely love. It's called The God Chasers. And in this, and I'm getting ready to close, Willie, could you do just maybe two songs for us, you guys? I wasn't prepared. I didn't know I was going to be alone, so now you guys aren't prepared. I'm doing the same thing to you. That's how we roll. Hey, you know. But I know that sometimes it's not easy to serve Jesus. When many are they increased that trouble me. When you are rejected, when you're talked about, when you're lied about, it's not always easy. It's hard. It's hard. I'm going to give you that. Can I say it? It's hard sometimes. But let me tell you something else that's harder. It was dying on the cross. I can do hard stuff. I can do the right stuff. I can do the hard stuff because he did the hardest of all in dying on the cross. How could I quit on someone who did not walk away when I needed him most? He was willing to go all the way Golgotha Road, step by step, and at any time he could have turned around, and that would have been turning his back on me, so he didn't do that. I know what Jesus was thinking. He was thinking, Pam needs me. I can't turn my back on her. Pam needs me. She don't have any other Savior. There ain't any other hope for Pam, so I got to do this. I got to have nails put in my hands, and I got to do this for her. Otherwise, she ain't going to be healed. She's not going to be saved. She'll never be anything without me, and so he kept going. So since he did the hardest part, I'm not going to quit. I've heard my brother say this before. I'm going to repeat this. I want to give him credit, even though he's not here. Where? I'm giving you credit. There's no quitter's crown. There's no crown in heaven going to be out. Here's your quitter's crown. I know you almost made it. I'm going to have to send you to hell, but you almost made it. You quit. You turned your back on me. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, finishing is better than starting. The end of a matter is better than the beginning. I don't care how you started out. I don't care where you're at today. You can make a determined decision today that I will not quit. I will not turn my back on Jesus. I will not give up. I'm going to finish the race. I may arrive in heaven with a few battle scars, mud on my face, but Jesus is going to be there, and it's going to be worth it all. I may have skinned knees, and my heart may be aching, but Jesus is waiting, and I am going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to dinner. Don't quit. Don't give up. Pastor Ken and I love you guys so very much. Please pray for everybody who's going through this illness. And don't be afraid. Fear not, for I am with thee. Jesus said it to us, and I believe that 100%. God bless you all.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.